wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
Down in the new basement studios by the lake, this is part two of the 2018 summer movie preview,
right,
where we talk about the summer movies, we play trailers, we predict how the films are going to do. Right, we keep score.
As you pointed out, part one, we're not critics because there's nothing for us to criticize other than the trailers. But it's not like we can.
But we're actually going to tell you if these films are any good or not.
Yeah, usually we're as good as anybody in
this
thing.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah. We will predict how they do financially. Do they make their money back against their budget? Is their U.S. box office made back against their budget?
Yep.
We also predict how they will do critically by using the Rotten Tomatoes website.
Right.
And in true disclosure, we always do these things in two parts, and yet, you know, people should know how sausage is made. We record these bad boys back to back.
Right.
And so let me tell you something right now. When those people go, oh, isn't so-and-so great on the radio? He works for 5 hours. Yeah, but he's having a break every 15 minutes for commercials. We're not. We're working all the way through.
I'm still going to say it's harder for them.
So, we were halfway through June. We finished the last episode, which you can find on the website, with Jurassic World, which I think you gave. Did you say double up for that one?
I did.
You did. Yeah, all right, sorry.
Reluctantly. So.
Reluctantly, a double up for for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. And again, all the trailers that you hear on the show, we create a YouTube playlist, and I will embed the link within the post. So depending how you get our show, the link should be there. If you subscribe to us on iTunes, the link should be there. If not, just go to AtlanticVoice.net and click on the post, and you'll find the link there. And you can actually watch all the trailers that you hear play and decide for yourself. Play along if you'd like. Play along with us.
So at this point, as the calendar goes, we're up to movies that come out on June 29th. And I just realized as I was looking that there is one of the movie that's we don't have a trailer for. It's apparently now called The Hustle, but it's essentially a remake. And we talked a bunch about remakes before, with Ocean's 11. And I think there's something else this summer that's a similar like remake with new genders. But anyway.
Superfly. Which we're not going to do. That's a remake of like one of those 70s.
No, but I meant another like cross, you know, women cast in the roles that were played by men in the original. Anyway, so this is a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, originally with Steve Martin and Michael Caine. And what's the actress's name?
Glenn Headley, Heady,
mm-hmm.
Who's now passed away.
Oh.
She died, I think, late last year. She was on ER for a little while. She's one of those people, if you see her face, you'd recognize her. She was in a lot of movies in the late 80s and early 90s. She passed away quite young, too.
Pretty good adult comedy, you know, that one was, although there were certainly
some. Do you like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? I actually don't. Because that's it. Actually, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is a remake
of a French movie or something.
Yeah.
So this new one, you know, we had it on our little list, and I kept looking around, and we couldn't find anywhere. At some point, it was, first of all, there's no trailer to be found at this point. It's kind of strange.
Yeah.
There was some point where the movie was renamed, and there were some pieces that were previews about the making movie where it was called Nasty Women.
Okay.
But apparently that's not the name that stuck either. It's The Hustle. If you're going to do a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, why you wouldn't call it Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? It seems to be.
Who's in it, to your knowledge? Anne Hathaway?
It's Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson is the comedian woman, obviously. But I don't know who like their mark is. I think their mark is a woman also. It's not like a flipping that gender.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
amen.
I wouldn't have watched it anyway. For a movie that doesn't have a trailer, we've given it more than enough love. To get onto the show, you actually have to have a trailer to qualify. Like, so,
yeah, no, because we can't predict things without a trailer.
Yeah.
Put it this way.
We can't tell you if it's going to be any good if it's not a trailer for us to watch.
I predict there's a problem.
Yes.
If the trailer isn't out, I can tell you that one. All right, so here we got another one. This will be interesting. Commercial. Burn 3 seconds here.
Yeah. We've not yet found a way to get rid of the commercials on YouTube.
We could probably pay for YouTube Red.
I know who you are. You're the attorney whose family they killed.
Not they.
My father.
Antonos.
And now you hunt them.
Adios.
First of all, I never seen somebody do this with a pistol where he does it with a rapid fire with the two hands.
Well, because he's a kick-ass.
The cartel helped the terrorists get to the border.
I'm not going to lie. First of all, we'll just tell everybody, this is the sequel to Sicario.
You can understand how that will expand our ability to combat them.
Another Josh Brolin, Benicio del Toro. The original one had Emily Blunt.
She's been chopped from the second one. She's not in it. I don't know why, but she's not in it.
I think she might have opted out.
Whatever. You're not in it.
But this music alone is what gets me all fired up. I mean, it was so cool in the first one. I have a feeling, as we're going to talk about this movie, that it won't be as cool in this one. But now we're tying in the drug dealers with, like, terrorism or something like that. And it's this, you know, dirty mission, you know, sort of secret mission. But meanwhile, Benicio del Toro is trying to kill these people who killed people. Like, he ends up taking some woman hostage.
The mission, correct?
Yes, sir.
We can't risk her falling into the wrong hands. Clean the scene.
They want me to cut ties. You gotta get rid of her.
I can't do that.
So there you go. Basically, that
situation. But the hunt coming up here.
We're gonna need a strike team, two Blackhawks, drones with attack capability.
Where's the coup?
Mexico.
You have no reason to trust me.
Like, look. They're going through another border checkpoint. It's right out of the first movie. Yeah. They're driving through this thing.
One was directed by Denis Villeneuve, who did Blade Runner, from last fall, Blade Runner 2099 or whatever it's called. His name was bandied around to do the next Bond film, but he turned it down because he wants to bring an adaptation of Dune to the screen.
Oh, Lord.
He is involved in this one, though, as a producer/executive producer. Yeah. And he has, it's not one of those things where he's just got his name slapped on it. He has been out there talking it up and you know, I think his fingerprints are on it. It's actually, but this one is directed by Stefano
Sullivan or
Salima. He's another one with a very short resume.
Handwriting.
Benicio del Toro, Josh Brolin. Couple of other people that you recognize.
You know, I read the write-up. It seemed to indicate it was very Benicio del Toro focused, but to watch this preview, it doesn't seem to be so focused on him.
No, I think it's. I mean, clearly the story is going to be, and I'm not giving anything away because the trailer gives it away. The hunter becomes the hunted, and del Toro, who works with Brolin, now faces off against Brolin.
Oh, really?
In the absence of any other star, but that's what you got to do. You know, there's no villain anywhere in the trailer. I like the first one
No villain in the first one either.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I always felt the first one was as much about Emily Blunt's character and her sort of loss of innocence, maybe for want of a better word. I enjoyed the first one very much, and I never saw the first one in the cinema, which
I
regret.
By the way, we should mention this. The full name of this is Sicario 2: Day of the Soldado.
Soldier.
And I think we talked about before that this had a lot of name. Like, apparently there was a big multiple naming type of situation, and they you know, they were trying to fold these things together.
Here's the interesting thing. No one, we talked in at the start of the last show that there's no such thing as like Lethal Weapon or Die Hard franchises anymore. If you just bring something out and you call it Sicario 2, people don't want to do that. It was back in the day, Lethal Weapon 2, Die Hard 2. Yeah, you just did
it. Well, they do, but I mean, like Deadpool 2, that's all those things.
Okay, all right, so I take it back.
But I think
if you put like an extension on the title, you're somehow adding a sheen of
respectability. I think at some point it had planned to just be Day of the Soldado, and then somebody said, we got to put the Sicario back in there or something like that.
Yeah, because to be fair, the first one, I don't know, I can't remember how the first one did financially, but it was, I felt it was.
I mean, it's not like a blockbuster, but definitely.
No, and it wasn't a summer movie either, I don't think, originally. It was critically acclaimed as much as it wasn't a financial blockbuster, nor should it have been, to be fair. I mean, Emily Blunt, Benicio, I mean, they're all great actors, but, you know, they weren't tentpole figures. It is interesting.
So we don't know the budget on this.
Don't know the budget on this. And Josh Brolin, frankly, to me, is the highest profile. I don't know, Del Toro. Although Del Toro's had sort of an interesting career that sort of veered all over the place, but I think he's a terrific actor.
Yeah.
I can't decide how I feel about this film.
Yeah.
I find this one very hard to predict. I'm going to go. I'm excited by the trailer because I like the first one, and I'm not making a mistake I made last time where I didn't see the first one in the cinema. But I don't know. I don't know how this plays.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is a market for it. for this kind of a sequel, without knowing what the first one made. Obviously, the first one must have made money. I think, oh God, I find this really hard to predict. I'm going to say it's critically well reviewed, but again, I'm going to qualify that to be well reviewed, you just have to be above 60%. This isn't some sort of 95%. Whereas I think if you look at the original Sicario, oh yeah, 96%, great thriller. Its budget is being withheld, so I think the budget is probably quite sizable. I worry for this film coming out in June, squashed in with Jurassic Park on one side and some other stuff coming on the other side. I think it is a financial down. And I only base that on the fact, like, I think this is more expensive to make second time around because Brolin and Del Toro both want more money. The budget has not been released, which is not that, to be fair, is not that rare these days. They're all keeping that under wraps. I don't know.
It's going to be close to the market. I'm the same boat with you.
I think it's close on both, to be fair. But we're in an up and down game, so I'm going critical up, financial down.
What am I going to do? I'm going to say...
Also an appearance by Matthew Modine.
Yeah.
And classic Matthew Modine. He seems to have spent a career being some middling
singer. I have a hard time believing it'd be badly reviewed. I don't think a lot of people are going to say, like, oh, these people are bad at acting.
What they're going to say is we've been there and done that. That's what they're going to say. Yeah. So they'll give it, you know, 2.5 out of 4. You know, I think because unfortunately, and you when you watch the trailer, there are a couple of shots, camera shots, that come straight out of the first one.
Yeah.
And you made a comment about that. But I think the critics are going to go, all these artistic touches, it's just now another dude doing it.
I'm going to say critical down just to do something different. I'm also with the financial down again.
All right, so double bump.
That one I feel I want to do the same as you because we could be both completely wrong about the budget and it could be fine. So yeah. at least we're not getting caught up in the lack of information in that case.
All right, so that, with the bell, is Sicario Day of the Soldado. Actually, Sicario 2, Day of the Soldado.
Yeah. We got... That's out of order.
Yeah, we're heading into July. Yeah, I think that's technically what was next.
So, how long have you been Ant-Man again?
Not long. It just sort of happened.
I wish I could fight bad guys like you.
I seem to mess it up almost every time.
Maybe you just need someone watching your back. Like a partner.
Dr. Pym, I actually heard what happened to you. You opened up the quantum realm. That's when this crazy creepy ghost who like walks through walls and stuff. Stole your tech. And now she wants to take over the world or whatever.
Do you know who's that in your actress being, playing the villain here?
I do not.
Because we robbed you. Do you remember? That's us.
And an interesting remix of DJ Rock and Easy Bass, Rob Bass, It Takes Two. This is, of course, the trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp.
That's why It Takes Two, because there's two of them.
Yeah. So Ant-Man, played by Paul Rudd, now joined by the Wasp, played by someone who we don't know.
What do you mean?
Oh, no. So who's that then? I don't know.
The Wasp? It's the woman from Lost.
Yeah, but who is that?
Oh.
So you don't even know her name.
It's, give me a second.
It's like saying, that's the fella from the commercial about the car. It don't mean
Evangeline Lilly, right?
Yep, never heard of her.
What do you mean never heard of her?
I didn't watch Lost. I'm one of the majority of
people. You haven't heard of her.
I am one of the majority of people who thought that TV series was moronic. No. So therefore, and as an aside, it means I can get to enjoy Westworld now because I haven't already been previewed by watching Lost.
Evangeline, I always refer to Evangeline.
I've heard the name. Good. I'm being very throwaway. Evangeline husband. That's always someone Googling with a bit of desperation in them.
Evangeline Lilly says she was intentionally injured on the set of Lost.
Ooh, who's she intentionally injured by?
I don't know, but we don't need to get distracted.
Not Paul Rudd. Yeah.
Canadian.
Tall as well, 5'6".
Huh, it's funny. I never would have thought of her as tall. But that's
really? So anyway, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Michael Douglas also in it. What's his name there who I love? Oh, I forgot his name now.
the Latino actor.
Yeah.
I don't know his name either. But
he's great. He's good. He was in End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal. He also was an FBI agent in America.
So this American is part of the Marvel, and this is...
And he was in the Chips remake.
Part of the MCU, as they say.
Something
the
Peña.
Comics
universe. Something Peña. Great. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, unfortunately.
So the two of them. And so if people don't know, like, the Ant-Man thing, is like they have a suit. It's magical. It's like shrinks you down to the size of an ant. And,
okay.
And the reason that this quantum realm thing is going on, it's his wife, Michael Douglas's wife, and Evangeline Lilly's...
Mom.
Okay. Had apparently been the Wasp first and was like lost in this in-between world of like microscopic stuff or sub-microscopic stuff. Anyway, so.
I'm still with you.
Yeah. I mean, the first one did much better than people expected.
$513 million is what it made.
It's definitely like a lighter version of the Marvel stuff, you know, a little bit more fun to it.
Yeah, it's lighter like Deadpool, but without all the crudeness. It's like a family-friendly Deadpool. And what I mean by that is, yeah, it's a bit lighter. It's not so much angst.
Did you know that this is the first Marvel movie with a female hero or heroine, I guess what we would say, in the title?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, obviously, there's female...
Yeah, books,
but it's the first Marvel Wonder Woman is DC. So
yeah, Paul Rudd, Ant-Man. I know we've mentioned. I'd love to know. I want to go ahead and give it what I gave it 3 years ago when the first one came out, but I can't remember.
I'm sure I have all the magazines on the shelf. We can stop.
People loved it. I mean, yeah, people like these things. It's not my cup of tea. It's a double up.
Yeah, it's not a problem. I think I liked it quite a bit, and I like Paul Rudd.
You like Paul Rudd? Yeah. You're saying double up too?
Yeah. He's the narrator in one of these Rush documentaries that came out in the past couple of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he Rush Canadian? Yeah. Probably, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's not his real name, you know, Paul Rudd.
What's his real name?
I don't know. That's his rap name.
Very, very helpful piece of information.
Referring back to part one. So if you're listening to this without listening to part one, well, why? And go back and listen to part one.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right. Another Purge movie is coming out around then. We don't need to talk about it.
I think that's
obviously.
A Purge prequel, too.
It's
a prequel,
to be like the beginning of the Purge.
Yes.
And they tested it out on Staten Island.
That is still one of my most famous, can't believe anyone got it that wrong predictions when I said this thing would be kind of cool. And yet, to be fair, I mean, I think they're moronic, yet they seem to have lasted for 4 or 5 installments. And there's talk of a Purge TV series somewhere. I know. My mind boggles.
I think you're still right. Speaking of moronic. This may be one of those trailers where nobody can get anything out of it.
FBI, show me your hands!
The Rock. The Rock is missing a leg. They won't say anything, so I'm telling everybody that. So he's got a prosthetic leg below the knee.
And that was Nev Campbell.
Yeah,
where's
she been?
Yeah, Party of Five.
You have been preparing for this meeting for 6 months.
She looks about the same age, by the way.
And of course, she's aged well. And of course, Wild Things.
Exactly. That is
a go-make. Which is a much better movie than people ever give credit for.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a good movie. What a great cast.
I always end up having to watch it to remember, because I always forget exactly what the twist is.
For the people in their t-shirt and everything. Don't start that with me. Come on now.
No, the twist is like, you're like, I can't remember how they... Like,
the twists just keep on coming.
Well, at the end, they, like, unwind it.
Yeah. Guard,
please.
The Pearl is the tallest, most advanced building in the world. You've built a vertical city, but you've brought with it every single safety and security challenge that I could think of.
We thought this floor was empty.
So did I.
Not only have you brought them all indoors, but you've trapped them 240 floors in the air. No one really knows what would happen if things go wrong.
And but obviously things go wrong.
Yeah.
Security guard, so...
Oh, it's fake. You can't make a building that big in the first place. Fall over.
The 96th floor is on fire.
Scientific. Is that your engineering conclusion?
Yes, it's too big.
No. You know what, though? This is kind of like the Die Hard, right? So we just said there were no Die Hards.
Yeah, we're going to get to this in a moment.
If we're going to get out of here, you're going to have to tell me the truth.
All right. You can turn that down. Because I think this movie actually... itself is probably not really a font of discussion, but it actually is a source of many discussions about cinema.
So this is Skyscraper, starring The Rock, who we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to circle back around to him during the predictions rather than go down a normal.
A little preview said he was framed for a crime he didn't commit.
Really? And he's a security guard?
Yeah,
what kind of security? Works. Well, then he is private security when you're getting a job that easily when you're already
or framed for a criminal. Or maybe he gets framed for a crime right here at the, in the Skyscraper or something like that.
So basically it looks like...
He's going to jump off some scaffolding here.
It looks like...
He only has one leg.
It looks like the variant... of people stuck in a skyscraper that Die Hard did so well originally. And then the last couple of years, there is that great, I think it's an Indonesian film, The Raid. Not The Raid Redemption. It's basically like an Indonesian. It was huge.
I remember
it's
something
huge
about
basically gangs in a tower block and the police go in to clear them out. And it's all kinds of action, obviously in a confined space. Also, the better version of the Judge Dredd's, the one just Dredd, with I can see his face now. He plays Dr. McCoy on the new Star Treks. Exactly the same plot. Judge Dredd and his sidekick go in to clear out villains from who are holed up in a skyscraper. This looks like the same thing. Of course, you're in a skyscraper, so it all echoes Taron Inferno in the first place. It looks like it does look a little bit like everything but the kitchen sink has been thrown into the CGI machine and rolled back out with The Rock in it. I can't decide. There's a part of me. I remember when Die Hard came out and we went through that spate of Die Hard type films. There was Die Hard. Then there was Under Siege, which did really well. I remember the Steven Seagal where he's stuck on the boat. Then there was the Under Siege 2 where he's stuck on the train. Then there was Jean-Claude Van Damme, which I happen to like, Sudden Impact. Or Sudden Death, where he's stuck at the Stanley Cup game with terrorists. I mean, so we've gone through that phase, and now we're back in that phase. But like I say, this one seems to throw in all kinds of other stuff. You know, there's going to be a fire. You've got the skyscraper. You've got the whole nine yards in there. I'm going to make my prediction, and I'm going to make my point. We have said for years that The Rock was... You know, not we. We have repeated what other people said, that he is box office Viagra.
Right.
But he seems to have lost his mojo.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's
Baywatch
not
bombed.
Quite so much.
That movie that we brought out a couple of months ago with the oversized ape in it, Rampage, was all CGI. He was in it. Something to do with animals, comic strip,
it's
video
based,
game.
It's based on video game from the 80s.
But that thing bombed.
Or 90s.
So 80s. The Rock is no longer a guarantor of success. And this film is so derivative of so many other films that have done those different elements better. I think this is a double bomb. And I say that because, and I just listed all the variants of Die Hard. And I spoke, and you said in a skyscraper, so echoes 1970s, the Taron Inferno, which of course no one listening has probably seen.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that movie got redone a couple of years ago in Korea, and I actually watched it. It was called The Taron. It was great. This is the laziest of summer entries, with a lot of pretty hokey-looking CGI.
We have one more lazy one later, but...
And it's a shame, because again, I've always said it. I like The Rock. I like his person, Dwayne, whatever he goes by in around town.
Right.
I like his personality. Yeah, Nev Campbell back in there. The Asian dude who looks like he owns the building, I semi-recognize him. There's not another star in it, though. There's no star villain. There's not. I didn't recognize any of those. And so right there at my moment, I'm like, ooh,
maybe they don't want
okay.
To tell us who the
I don't know. I feel this is a blatant attempt to make money on the cheap. I think it doesn't make money because people think it will be cheap. I say double bomb.
Well, I'm going to agree that it's going to be a critical flop. I mean, it's just no chance that this is going to get like...
I'm forgetting the fact that 244 floors is too big. You can't build a building that big. But there you go.
Will it make money, though?
Under normal circumstances, I would have gone, it's going to suck, it's going to be stupid, but it'll make money. But The Rock has lost, seems to be on a bit of a cold streak right now. And that was never the case.
I mean, he's carrying this as like a big hero. Didn't the movie with him and playing the FBI guy or CIA guy with the comedian?
The comedian, Kevin Hart.
Didn't that do well?
Central Intelligence. Yeah, it did very well.
I gotta say financial, it's fine. It's going to be critical flop, financial success.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting.
So that is Skyscraper.
Yeah.
And that was a film, funnily enough, I ran into that by
accident.
Kind of
amazing that the that movie title was available. Like, nobody had done a skyscraper before.
I think it has been done like a 1973 Polish movie. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Something like that. So that skyscraper with a rock. Let us move on.
All right. Well, got to do it eventually. I guess
we can get to one of these tent poles. There you go. So you know what that is.
Yeah, right. You already know.
Your mission.
It seems to be a new thing on these trails, by the way. They have the quick hit before they
actually get into the trailer.
It's like a trailer before the trailer. I guess it's to get your attention.
I wonder, did you ever choose not to? The end you always feared is coming. And the blood will be on your hands.
That guy.
He was the villain in the last one. I'm going to talk about it in a moment.
Good intentions.
You had a terrible choice to make in Berlin. One life over millions. And now the world is at risk.
Wait, was Baldwin in the other one too?
He was in one of the other ones.
If he held on to the plutonium, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
His team would be dead.
Yes.
By the way, we're now in the stretch of trailers that I didn't watch in advance, so all this stuff is just
it's Mission Impossible. I'm not giving anything away.
That wasn't Steve Buscemi, was it?
No.
You don't understand what you're involved in.
You need to walk away.
Please don't make me go through you.
How many times has Hunt's government betrayed him, disavowed him, cast him aside? How long before a man like that has had enough?
And that's not who we are.
Maybe we need to reconsider that.
All right. I think we've heard enough.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible. What's this one called?
Fallout.
It looks like a lot of old faces. Simon Pegg, who I don't think we saw in the trailer. That may have been who you've seen, who you thought was Steve Buscemi. Ving Rhames.
That'd be a bad mistake on my part. But.
Alec Baldwin, who showed up in these things. The female lead was in the last one. Interesting, it does not look like Jeremy Renner has survived the last two, and he's been replaced by Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill attempting to hit the cycle of... he was Mission Impossible, he was Man from U.N.C.L.E., He auditioned for James Bond and was beaten out by Daniel Craig. That's always the Hollywood story. So he's doing the whole spy
Superman
thing. Superman 2. Director is Christopher McQuarrie, who's worked with Cruise a couple of times. He worked with him on the last Mission Impossible,
right,
which I think was Ghost Protocol or Rogue Nation. I get confused. And then he wrote the one before that. And he's also he's written and directed Cruise... probably because he's a Scientologist. What's the one, the Jack Reacher movies? The two of them that Cruise did?
I think they're called Jack Reacher.
Yeah. I mean, these things always do well. I do... Yeah.
You mean financially, right?
And I'm looking at the trailer, and if you like the last one, you'll like this one. And if you didn't like the last one, go and watch something else, because you're getting the last one.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this, which I find interesting now, about this particular, and about Tom Cruise too. And I can't, to his credit, he's more than happy to surround himself with other people that resonate with the audience. Whereas I think 20 years ago, everything was a Tom Cruise movie. Now look, this is still a Tom Cruise movie, so he's in a position of strength. But it's interesting how you see in all these crossover characters from a movie series that I never really expected or asked any continuity from. Like the voice we heard at the start was the villain in the last movie. So I can't decide now, well, do you need to have seen the last movie to know what was going on? To be fair, I watch every other one of these ones. I don't know, I really know what's going on. Do I really care? It's Mission Impossible. He can jump out of a plane. He's going to fly. It's going to be exciting. You know, at some moment, the critics run out of gas on these things. It won't be this one. I'm going to say it's Double Up. It's going to make money. But, you know, at some moment, though, with this franchise, you know, where is it going? He's getting older. We're now referring to stuff that's happened in his past. His country's always let him down. Obviously, I doubt Mission Impossible will survive when Tom Cruise stops doing it.
So it's not James Bond, where the character will live on. It's not Batman or Superman. I just find it interesting. You know, again, I find the trailer interesting in that it wants you to evoke what's come before in this series to get you in the door or to set you up. I don't know. I just find that interesting. And I'm not asking. It's funny. As an audience member, I'm not demanding any of that. It's Mission Impossible. What do I care? Entertain me, make me laugh, have a few good stunts. And Cruise, to his credit, tends to do that.
You use the word interesting repeatedly. I have no interest in this whatsoever.
So you don't like the so you don't like the series?
No.
It's interesting. I remember being very excited about the first one. Well, sorry. But that's just the verbal thing.
Yeah.
I remember when Brian De Palma made the first one in 1996. And I was super excited for it. And I remember it came out and I thought, this movie's really moronic. So then I sort of bagged it for a couple. And then I went to see the last one. And then I caught the one prior to that on TV. And I thought, entertaining. You know, passes the time.
I mean, I'm sure it's financially going to be fine. I may be just being wishful of saying, hey, critically down. I don't see why critics would like this, but maybe they do.
I'm just ambivalent. I mean, I think, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Tom Cruise. When was the last time one of his movies got hammered? And that's the thing, isn't it? And I don't know if there's a fear factor in there or if he's just, you know, it's the beloved Tom Cruise. Do you know what I mean? Because he's not part of us.
I think it's the machine that's built around him.
Sure, yeah. Okay, whatever the reason is. So. But you're right, his movies don't get hammered hard.
Wait a minute. He did the mummy thing or something, didn't he?
So I take back everything I just said. Ooh, so you're going stronger now that they might hammer this one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the other ones were reviewed.
They can't
be glowing, right? I mean,
they all fall in there at 80%.
Can't start off this way. Tom Cruise, come on, man.
Tom Cruise makes another movie if you choose to accept it. I mean, there you go. That's what it is, isn't it?
So, anyway, I don't have much to say about it. I've seen parts of them. I'm not very motivated by them.
You're fair. I will say this to them, though.
I hate Tom Cruise.
No, they're getting to the level, though, that if you watch it on TV with the commercials, you're like, I'll sit through that for 2 hours.
Yeah.
But does it take your $12 now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Next movie. Speaking of... Well, I don't know what we're speaking of here, but because...
Which one are you doing?
This one.
Sorry, let me ring the bell there on Tom Cruise.
Kind of bell-less so far.
As we take another moment to...
Do you want to live in a world where everybody feels cozy and validated all the time? Or do you want to live in a world that works? We fight new wars. The old options, military, diplomacy, they don't always succeed. Sometimes you need a third option. That's Overwatch. According to the government, we do not exist. We're ghosts. But we are very real. And we get shit done.
Oh, cursing.
I'm only gonna outline this one time. 9 pounds of radioactive isotope is missing.
It's enough to make 6 major cities uninhabitable.
He knows exactly where it is.
Stop where you are, sir.
On your knees, get up!
What do you want?
I want out of the country.
He's wanted for espionage.
We're talking about a corrupt low-level cop.
You're sitting here indicates he's not so low-level.
Be careful. You fucking be careful.
Oh, language, Marky Mark.
We have men wandering our embassy.
This must be a Red Band trailer, which you didn't say at the start. It was a bit cheeky. Oh, yeah.
Can I trust you?
Put me on a plane to the U.S. and I'll give you everything.
My state up against it from the 40s.
To go. This is an
Overwatch operation.
All right. Hey, that's Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Ultimate Fighter. And this is...
Is that Kurt Russell?
No. What?
The guy? Was that Kurt Russell? I can't see. This is the first time I've watched
Malkovich?
Yeah, Malkovich. I'm sorry. It's correct. Yeah, Malkovich. Kurt Russell.
I don't think that's ever happened. Mistake somebody.
Although, you know something? I can see Malkovich as Snake Plissken. Call me Snake.
Yeah.
That's Mile 22.
Yeah.
Talking of doing the same thing over and over. Mile 22, starring Marky Mark, and directed by Peter Berg.
Right.
Who hacked around as an actor for a while. And one of his most recent performances was 20 years ago was in Copland, which is a movie I'm always very fond of. But he's really made a career as a director. He's done some very good things. He did the original Friday Night Lights. He also kind of bombed with Battleship.
made a couple of other things. He made that Patriots Day movie with Marky Mark. Yeah, he made one about the FBI, which was very watchable. It's called The Kingdom. It was about a bomb in a U.S. embassy, and it's all about the relationship between the FBI and the people there. It's sort of a, you know, terrorist covert operations thing. You know, for him, the director, this is, you know, pretty much furrowed ground. And for Marky Mark, I mean, yeah, it's another Marky Mark vehicle. I watched the trailer and I'm like, you know, it's funny. In isolation, I go, yeah, that might be quite interesting. But with these people, you don't get to look at it in isolation. And I look at it and I go, I've seen this before with basically variants of the same people, probably with Jeremy Renner. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm going to come and say right now before give you a go, but I'm going to go on your double bomb. Huh? I mean, there's nothing here, nothing to see here.
It's very much one of these movies that's going to be in those margins. I think it'll probably get just put up there on the critical level. You've got some, you know, maybe success there just marginally between Malkovich. And I think maybe because it's clearly about the government and its information and, you know, our lack of privacy and things. I think maybe that's going to resonate
a little bit. We've been doing this stuff for about 5 or 6 years now, haven't we?
Yeah, well, it's more in the news now.
Yeah, I guess.
I think financial, it'll be do well. So I'm going double up, but not resoundingly so.
Just, that's interesting. I did that. Now, I've criticized Marky Mark for doing the same sort of thing over and over and over. And I do. I like him a lot. I've always had, I think he's got an engaging screen presence. I thought he was great going slightly against type in The Departed. I say slightly against type. And obviously, what was the boxing movie? That he did where Christian Bale won the Oscar. Amy Adams was in it.
I don't know.
He was terrific in that. But if you like these sort of movies and you like Marky Mark, there was one I watched about 5-6 years ago called Contraband with Kate Beckinsale, mm-hmm. which was very good. Yeah, for that type of thing, yeah, it was enjoyable.
So then
this is what I'm saying, but I'm looking at this now, and again, while I've said it's going to be a double bomb, I just referenced this in terms of Mission Impossible. At a certain moment, you're asking people to drop anywhere from $12 to $16 now to go to the cinema. If you can sit and watch this on cable, or you can stream it 4 months later with your Netflix account, or you're on demand for $4.99, I'm not sure there's enough here to make me go into the cinema. Now, you're right. Summer movies exist for us to kill time.
Yeah, well, this is an early August movie, so it's I don't think it's going to have that much. And it's fight with as some
no,
of the other ones.
But I don't know. You know, August has been funny. I remember last couple of years, the August movies that we thought have done well, they haven't. I think people, to the extent, this is not 1988, where the only way to see these things was to go to the cinema. I think with streaming TV and stuff like that, you need to be pretty compelling to keep taking people's money. What I'm saying is, I think as consumers and viewers, we are not conditioned as we were 15 years ago to be dropping money every week to go, because we can entertain ourselves so many different ways. And that's the issue with this Mile 22. It just looks like I've seen it before with the same people, with different people. You know, they're all sort of, yeah, the Bourne Identity. Do you know what I mean? And we've done that.
Well, but
it
doesn't seem like they're making them into like superhuman type things. I think it seems pretty strange.
No, but I'm talking about that sort of notion of sort of action, but just, you know, a bit of real politic thrown in. Do you know what I mean? And they're not really. In the end of the day,
I'm getting more convinced it's going to be good. So
okay, I've talked you into it with my double bomb. So what are you saying for Mile 22?
Up, up.
You're saying double up.
Yeah.
Good on you. You've only dropped one double bomb. I've dropped four. I just love throwing these things down. Not really do. That's why I lose every year, frankly. If you didn't hear part one, I'm 0-3-2, I think, over our time together. Uh-huh. Let's roll on.
All right.
Another movie.
Another movie. It's about spies, too, I guess, or things like that. The next big... Oops, commercial. Sorry.
It's just dead air right now while you fiddle around.
People can stand it.
All right. Is the sound broken?
Nope.
No, all right.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's not like a James Bond credit. Like a knockoff. Yeah, it actually is Casino Royale, yeah.
It's a sink. Do you know how to drive a stick?
I'm so sorry.
It's an emergency.
Oh, my God. Do you know how to change a gear?
What's a gear? Okay.
Get out. It wasn't so bad.
We just want to talk about your boyfriend.
But he dumped me.
Drew was CIA.
I'm sorry, what?
Some bad people are after me. Now they're after you.
Hey, that's, what's his name?
Happening? I don't know, because you dated a spy. I-5.
Who's what's his name?
The actor, what's that actor's name?
It's a flash drive. You
have to. He's dating, or he was dating,
There is no turning back for us. We're semi-professionals at this point. We are professional.
All right, so it's Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon. In The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Yeah, and the spy who dumped them must be... He's from... Friends woman he's dated for years and...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Justin Theroux.
Justin Theroux, that's who it is.
Justin Theroux.
So the premise, apparently, is that, you know, they get entangled in some sort of CIA hijinks because an ex-boyfriend was involved in them. Looks funny to me. And I actually like both of them. I think Kate McKinnon's funny. Mila Kunis is funny. I think she's over pushing it with these whiskey ads.
Didn't you and I have a discussion about, well, so what is Mila Kunis? Who is Mila Kunis now? What's her career all about? Because to be fair, I mean, she was in Black Swan.
Yeah.
And
so she's got a wide range. She does rom-com-y type things.
Yeah. What rom-coms was she in? And I'm not knocking her because I like her, but I feel like she's famous for being Mila Kunis.
The thing with the guy from...
Whiskey ads. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, you can't even name three movies.
The one
she was on that 70s show. Right. So, there you go. Boom.
The movie, keep interrupting with me, How I Met Your Mother guy, the tall guy where he goes off to Hawaii and
is... Oh, Jim Thingy-Ding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so good at it too, huh?
Well, because he's like a TV star, isn't he?
No, he's a movie guy now, man.
Yeah. So what are you saying for this then? Are you ready to give
critical
it?
Critical and financial success.
This movie, and I got this wrong. I got this type of movie wrong a couple of years ago, and I ate my words. I ate my words in the roundup and then really talked up the film. I remember Melissa McCarthy, who I didn't really like, did Spy. Jude Law, Jason Statham, The English Girl. And the same sort of thing, sort of spy, caper, hijinks.
That movie did very well.
Spy did very well. It was very well reviewed. I went and I really enjoyed it. And I remember in the preview I put the boot in. And then, you know, by the time I'd seen it and by the time the roundup came, I'm like, yeah, I was wrong. But I tell you, that film was good. That being said, I don't know if this film is there. I feel this film ends up being more along the lines of one of those, you know, Reese Witherspoon did one of these with Chris Pine and Tom Hardy.
It did well,
but kind of stupid.
She was in the Bad Moms movies, of course.
So there you go. Yeah. She's in Bad Moms. All right, so that's sort of her franchise, and they make a bag of money. Got a hardcore audience there, so I'm not knocking. I take back a little bit what I've said about Mila Kunis. Do I feel is hacking out a career just for being Mila Kunis? But I mean, I think she can act. I'm not knocking.
Forgetting
her at
all. Sarah Marshall's movie, I'm thinking of. That's 10 years ago now, but Kate McKinnon is, she's objectively hilarious. Now, whether she doesn't appear to be able to carry movies, like, so she's too quirky, you know, like it's, they basically say, if you're a comedic person, but you end up being the main character, you can't really be your full funny self. You know, you have to carry the movie somehow. But so I think she should work in a duo that way.
Now, I've made a point a few minutes ago of dropping another double bomb, and I think I dropped it on a film that, you know, probably didn't deserve it somewhere. But this one has all the makings of it. It's coming out later in the year. Now, it's a comedy, and to be fair, you know, there's no one in that cast who's earning A-list money. So, you know, the financial bar is lower. You know, there are people who like bad moms. People go to see that. And so at that moment, Mila Kunis resonates with them.
I don't want to just drop a double bomb, although that's what my heart is telling me.
Follow your heart.
It's definitely critical down. Definitely critical down. The critics are going to go, this is stupid. Because again, I'm sorry, when I watch the trailer, we've seen this before. There's not an original idea in this, and that's not a criticism on its own, because there's loads of stuff that comes out in the cinema that we've seen before. This is where playing the game suddenly becomes important. You've gone up.
Mm-hmm.
You believe it's going to make money.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling. I think Kate McKinnon's funny. I remember watching her on, what was the one from last year with Scarlett Johansson? And she plays the Australian, Rough Night. She was very funny on that, and I don't watch Saturday Night Live. I'm going double bomb just because that's what I do. Going back to type. But, yeah, I just, I'm a bit worried. That the movie like this that comes out later in the year, in August, which is a little, August is the dog days in the cinema now too. If they really believed in this as a comedy, they would have brought it out in June. They don't. Because you can counter program it in June. You've got all this action stuff, so throw the comedy in there, try and catch the market. Tag from episode one took that up. I think this movie's a dog of a movie, and I think they're trying to hide it. Double bomb.
Right.
I feel better about my prediction. I talked myself into that.
Talk yourself right into that thing.
And it doesn't take much to talk me into dropping a double bomb on something. It really doesn't.
Well, you won't have much trouble with the next one, I'm pretty sure.
What is the next one?
I think it's our last movie.
Do we want to stop and just cover any other stuff before we get here, and then we do our big predictions?
Well, I was going to mention in August, this is one of these gritty sci-fi things. I think is John Goodman and Vera Farmiga, which is from Modern Family, right? Isn't that her?
No, that's the other one. Vera Farmiga was in the one with George Clooney. I remember seeing her.
Okay.
Where he fires people. She's also in those. That very successful horror franchise.
Captive State, set in Chicago neighborhood in nearly a decade after an occupation by an extraterrestrial force. Captive State explores the lives of both people on both sides of the conflict, collaborators and dissidents. Directed by Rupert Wyatt.
Bomb. We're not even doing it. It's a bomb.
I'm not even sure it's got to be a limited release movie. I don't think.
Yeah, it doesn't sound. And I don't want to be mean, but those are great actors and they're great actors, but they're not.
I'm going to mark you as saying it's a bomb because I feel like this is one of those ones you could be so incredibly wrong.
All right, so
we're not going to count it.
No, count it. Can I stop for a moment?
So are you doing double down? Are you doing double down?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Every year I have an asterisk. This year you're playing the asterisk.
No. Because this movie, don't answer. I'd take it out. No. Do you want it in or out? It's your call.
Leave it in there.
Okay, but you can't claim it as an asterisk if you say leave
it
in there.
Hold on. Here's what I'm going to do this year.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm going to do for you. Because I'm in a position. I've never won this competition, so really, what do I care? If I get this wrong, I will give you the points. But if I'm right, I don't get to claim any points.
It's no lose for you.
You win the whole.
Well, why would you do that? You're just trying to create an asterisk.
No, I'm not creating an asterisk. I'm creating an asterisk for you, not for me.
No, that's
how confident I am that this movie's going to suck. That if I'm right, I won't get any points for it. But no, if I'm wrong, I'll give you a point. Write it down. Make sure that appears in the note. What's the name of the film called? What's it called?
Captive State.
Captive State.
For me, if wrong. Okay, I'm not going to bother to put a prediction.
You don't have to put a prediction. Yeah. This is all about me. All about me. If I'm right, I don't get any points. I just get to sit back and go, see, I was right.
Right.
If I'm wrong, you get a point.
There's a couple of, later on after that is this...
you said there was a Keanu Reeves thing too,
which unfortunately the thing I print doesn't have the titles properly. It's like they have the movie posters, but the movie posters don't show the title. Keanu Reeves and Alice Eve star in a sci-fi thrill about a man who becomes obsessed with bringing his family back in any way possible after they're killed in a car accident. And he's got some weird thing on his head.
Looks interesting.
There's a Matthew McConaughey movie, true story about a young man during the 80s.
White Boy Rick?
Yeah.
Oh, is it just White Boy? The character's White Boy Rick.
Yeah, becomes a police informant for the Detroit police.
Well, unfortunately for Matthew McConaughey, he was in the Stephen King movie that bombed the last August. So let me tell you something for free. A Matthew McConaughey movie that comes out in August is going to bomb, even though it's probably not coming out in August. It's coming out this summer. McConaughey's funny. I don't see him. Because he has sort of moved to this year, he's moved into a new place since True Detective of being an actor of... And he won his Oscar, obviously, for, I can't remember what it was called, but he's moved into this sort of, he's Clark, he's gravitas. He's also not an actor who can open films. And he's never been, and to be fair, he's never been an actor who could open films. Matthew McConaughey's career is full of films like Sahara and Junk and rom-coms with Terry Bradshaw and people living in the basement and all. Gosh, I mean, yeah, so that movie's a bomb. That's White Boy.
There's another one here. I think maybe we should watch this trailer because it could be better than I think. This is another August 17th movie.
All right, we got time. Let's do it. Let's do it, and then we'll do our big finish.
I think we're on an ad. Sorry.
We're an ad for another movie.
Yeah,
for Escape Plan 2 with Sylvester Stallone. Oop. It's red, but too late. We're in. Turn the whatever. Monkey Mog already dropped the F word, so really.
I love singing and dancing. Hiya, folks. $0.50, I'll suck your dick.
Well, it's a great price. It almost makes me wish I had a dick for you to suck.
What? Oh, language.
Well, you did.
That's a red band trailer.
Yeah.
You two are the most decorated officers in this department.
What do you see?
Looks like a robbery gone wrong to me.
This wasn't a robbery. This was a hit.
Welcome. So what you can't tell by listeners is these are Muppets. Like, not all Muppets. It's a mixture of Muppets and people.
Done by the son of the Muppet Man, isn't it?
We're gonna catch the bastards who did these murders. Because bodies are gonna start piling up.
You're one of the best damn cops I've ever seen.
I'll have your badge for this. I'm in the fucking FBI.
All right, enough. We gotta cut this stuff out here. They really didn't have no warning on this.
Yeah.
Other than the fact it was a red band
trailer. Red band trailer. And to be fair, I don't know how violent a red band trailer with puppets so really is gonna be.
Melissa McCarthy, like, because this one said red band, and so I tried to.
Anyway, it's called The Happy Time Murders.
With Melissa McCarthy and this blue
Muppet thing
are like partner cops.
Benny's playing a puppet.
Yeah, I'm glad we watched this. I'm all fired up.
Because the synopsis is that it's in a set in a society where puppets have equal sort of rights as humans. And so it looks like a sort of buddy cop comedy movie, except the catch is it's Melissa McCarthy and a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just say you're excited and you're fired up for this?
Yeah.
I'm now going to put the boot into you.
What? Boot into me?
Yes.
For what?
You hammered me a couple of years ago when I tried to talk. And to be fair, my prediction was wrong because Ted 2 didn't do as well as Ted 1. I loved Ted with Marky Mark, funnily enough. And Seth MacFarlane playing the little teddy bear.
Yeah.
I loved that movie. And Ted 2, I talked it up and it bombed. Now, to be fair, it bombed probably because I didn't go and see it either. And you really stuck it to me for even trying to give those movies like a positive spin. You were like, "This is a moronic.
Yeah.
You're an idiot."
Yeah.
So now, a couple of years later, the shoe, mm-hmm. or the, should I say, the glove puppet is on the other hand.
No.
Because you're talking up the puppet movie.
No, first of all, I'm telling
you that it's nonsense.
It's funny. Ted wasn't funny.
Ted was funny.
No.
No, I don't care what you said.
Seth MacFarlane is a bozo.
No, like, he's so funny. No. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah, to live.
Family Guy, all that stuff.
What was the West Oscars movie? What was that great West movie?
$1 million to Die in the West.
A Million Ways to Die in the West.
I know, that did bomb.
Let's just go out there and say.
I understand that.
He has no nuance to his humor whatsoever.
Okay. All right, and this does? A movie
I bet
with
you it
Muppet.
Does. Okay. I bet you it does. Little twists and funny. I mean, like, listen, it's basically capitalizing on, you know, Avenue Q and those other Muppet based, you know,
Vulgar movie. And it's funny you say that because when I watch the trailer, I'm thinking I might enjoy.
There you go. See.
But I have ground for that because I've enjoyed these puppet human crossover movies before, whereas you have criticized them.
Now,
again, this is not about the
film.
I'm going
to say critical up, but
you.
It's going to be a financial down. But I'm excited to see it. So I'm going to say critical up, financial down. What do you got? Ooh, I'm kind of. I don't usually do financial down, but I've just put it on the table.
What's it called? Because I've got Happy Time Murders.
Yep.
Oh, God. I don't think it makes money.
Okay.
And I'm going to agree with you. I think the critics will probably give it a pass, although not by much. And frankly, I'm going to sit here in November and go, I wanted to double bomb that, and I didn't.
Right.
And I'm going to regret not double bombing it. because otherwise my whole sheet is just double bomb. That's become my new strategy. Because again, I got a draw last year, and I said last year I'm just going to double bomb you into submission, and I nearly paid off for me. All right, one movie to go,
yeah,
and then we'll pick what we believe will be the biggest out of everything that we've reviewed this summer.
Because
we might be wrong. It might be something else that we don't review, but that for the sake of the game, that's what we count. So anyway, that's the Happy Time Movers.
Another commercial.
But the same one that we've seen before.
I know.
I think YouTube also actually keeps an analytic when you actually sit through the commercial. Right. When you're too lazy to go skip this ad, they never show it to you again.
Hey, we're back in the water.
Yeah.
So that's bright. Protects that. This trailer, I did not see at all. I made my predictions, by the way, without seeing this trailer.
Oh, you've already made your prediction?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't. I wait until the trailer's done.
Guys from one of the Walking Dead series.
Cliff Strong, I think his name is. No, not Mark Strong, Cliff something.
There's a monster outside.
You are listening to Jason Statham.
Is bigger than we ever
thought. He hasn't said a word yet.
Yeah, but he's in it.
How big is that thing?
It was the largest shark that ever existed.
A living fossil.
Thought to have been extinct over 2 million years.
Wrong.
My God. It's a megalodon.
He's kidding, right?
It's called the Meg. Yeah, basically like about a shark that's basically as big as like an office building, and it does appear that Jason that will end up facing off with action hero Jason Statham, who's
why don't you just put a tracker on it?
Got a good sense of humor.
Did you guys ever watch Shark Week?
Hey, it's White Truth,
right? Yep. And you can tell from the music for the trailer that it has its tongue ever so slightly in its mouth.
Yeah, I may have to change one part of my prediction here, but...
All right, so that's our last trailer. Ryan Wilson, there you go. A few other people.
Let's do the easy part. It's
no,
be critical.
I'm not actually going to... I'm not ready to go there yet. I want to talk a little bit more about it.
But I don't care if you're
okay,
ready.
No, go
I'm
for it.
You, it's definitely critically failing.
Okay, so you say critically failing.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, it's not just Meg, it's the Meg.
Yeah, it's the Meg, because it's about the monster shark. It looks like something ultimately that should be on Sci-Fi Channel. You know, like Sharknado. And this is coming out in August when Shark Week is on TV. So a clever little bit of counter-programming, or pro-programming there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a movie from, I think, the late 90s? It's called Lake Placid, and Bill Pullman's in it, and Oliver Platt, and probably one of the last times you ever see Bridget Fonda on screen, because she doesn't seem to work anymore. And it's set, it's basically park rangers, and it's about an oversized crocodile in the lake in Lake Placid. I remember watching the movie, I remember seeing the trailer, and I thought, this is really dumb. And then I watched it when it was on basic cable, I think, with adverts. And I remember watching it, and I laughed a lot, because it was funny, it was straight up funny, and then it was winking at the audience funny. And Oliver Platt was funny, and Bill Pullman was very good, and Bridget Fonda. They made a couple of sequels which were all moronic, but Lake Placid, it got away with this sort of spin on, you know, in the same way, the very movie that we started the two-part of this year was Deadpool. Which we said was, yeah, it's a not comic book hero, but it's very sort of irreverent or whatever. I see the Meg in the same vein as Lake Placid.
Really?
I do.
Was there anything you saw in that made an impression that they were trying to be funny?
The music, the little dog in the water, just all of it. Because it's not a... If The Rock was in this movie, we might approach it differently. But because Jason Statham has made his career making a lot of B pictures, mm-hmm. we sit here and we put the boot in.
Oh, I don't think that's why.
I am going to say
I'm actually going to say that critically, it's going to do quite well. It's going to pass the 60% threshold. But I'm going to go... I'm going to go counter that conventional wisdom. Normally, if a film like this is critically well done, people will go and watch it. But I think by the time you get to this, and again, now I'm going to give you some facts here. Its budget is $150 million. Let me name a couple of movies. Now, we couldn't get many budgets this year. Deadpool's budget is $110. Ocean's 8, its budget is $70. Skyscraper's budget is $60. The Megs.
I had none of that information when we were making our predictions.
Yeah, you did. It's on the sheet of paper that you photocopied.
I had no idea what that's what those things were.
Didn't I say to you before part one, let me put some budgets down. The Megs budget is $150 million. That is a lot of money for what looks like a throwaway B picture. I'm going to say the critics give it a pass. They don't love it, but they're not going to trash it. Unfortunately, at that budget, it's not going to make its money back. And my instinct was to go the other way around, was to say it would make money, but the critics will hammer it. But I'm not. The critics are going to give it a pass. They're going to call it moronic, throwaway summer entertainment. But you know something? There are worse ways to kill 2 hours. I think that's the position the critics will take. But because of that budget, that's a big number. I don't think it makes its money back. Because at the end of the day, it's a film about a really giant shark starring Jason Statham, who I love.
Well, I'm going to stick with my original thing then. I'm going to say critical down and financial down. The notion that a movie like this could get a critical... No, but like your picks are insane. Like the idea that this movie would get... First of all, like I don't believe it's going to get a good review, but let's say it did get a good review. If a movie like this got good reviews, it's going to make money. Like, how could it not? Like, people, the critics are going to say this movie, which clearly looks like they should hate it, they actually come around and say, the oh, no, you are, know, actually, the, it's good.
No, no.
And then nobody goes?
But this is where the rules we've been playing under for all these years, they're almost too simplistic. I'm not saying they're going to love it, but if the score on Rotten Tomatoes is 60 to be a red tomato, it comes in at 67%. Which means that half the dudes went, yeah, you know, there's something there, you might enjoy it. I'm not saying they're going to say that this thing is, you know, Dr. Zhivago. What they are going to say is, you know, it's not as stupid as you think it is.
Did you know? But I'm saying if they say that, people will go see it.
No, because they're not going to come strong to the mic and go, this movie's great.
See, I'm going to mark here the fact that insane on Zeph's, and also I'm going to put that I borderline, I was about to pick up, but since you're picking down, I'm sticking with it. Borderline.
All right. Asterisk is everywhere on your sheet this year.
No, it makes for more discussion. No,
okay, that's fine.
You know,
I'm just saying
when we come, because I don't remember like you do, like, oh, we said this. In fact, actually, I'm not sure you remember.
No, I remember.
But you'll say you remember.
No, you know why? Because when we do the Total Up show in November, I actually go back and listen to part one and part two
to remember what I said. I still think you recharacterize things.
Of course I do.
Yeah,
that's part of playing.
I don't remember unless I write these things.
Did we mention anything else that's around this summer? A couple of other movies we did talk about.
There's another Equalizer.
Like, they're remaking Papillon. Did you see that?
I did.
And I almost thought about reviewing that, but then I'm like...
But I think it's designed to be an art version of it or something.
Yeah, and you know something, that's a movie. Remember last year, or was it 2 years ago when they remade Ben-Hur? And we're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Then Papillon, what are you doing? Steve McQueen.
Well, Papillon, because it's originally a book, right?
It is a book, yeah.
So I do think, like, the Steve McQueen version, I love it because it was Steve McQueen, but it wasn't really great.
No, it's not.
You know, so, like, I think there was room to do this. Like, if somebody does this in a more artistic fashion, there might be room for that.
Okay.
You know, we skipped over Equalizer 2 with
Denzel Washington,
which is a little weird to say.
Antoine Fuqua, the director.
Yeah. And we just, I don't know.
I'll say this. The first one was very entertaining.
Yeah.
Although I do feel Denzel a little bit has got a bit lazy late in his career, and he seems to be doing a lot of this sort of stuff, you know, Man on Fire, which is a great movie, this, different action films. Frankly, I wish he played more. I really want to see Denzel Washington do a comedy, which is one thing he's never done. That's it, that, you know, I'd love to see him do that on screen, but he doesn't do that. He ends up doing stuff like
weird.
This.
I wonder if he's...
But you know something, I suspect that Equalizer 2, if you go in there and spend your money, you're going to go, yeah, that's fine.
I just like the TV series better.
Yes.
So, biggest movie?
I got to tell you something. I think we opened part one really questioning where summer movies sort of sat in terms of the marketplace and all that sort of thing. I'm finding it very difficult this year.
I think this year's easy.
To me, it comes down to which one does better, Deadpool or the dinosaur movie. It's very rare that an early movie wins. Very rare.
You want to get a little tidbit? Since I saw it, you should be able to see the information as well.
I'm going to go with Deadpool. I'm going to go Deadpool number one. And then I'm going to go Jurassic Park, Jurassic whatever they are, the dinosaur Jurassic. Movie, the dinosaur movie 2. That's what I'm going to, so I wrote that under you. I'm going to go Deadpool 1, Jurassic World 2. And I'm now going to say this, and you might, you know, I know that sometimes we play the game, you know, where we sort of try and do different things in order to make it more interesting. But I'm going to say to you, can you honestly make the case for something else that we reviewed here to not necessarily be number one, but sneak
but to in, be in the top
two? To split the two. And I really struggled this year. I couldn't find anything.
Maybe Mission Impossible, but I don't know how much money those made. I don't think Ant-Man gets there.
No, I mean, and they all do well. But again, we're talking about picking the one that gets the trophy.
Ocean's 8 could get hot.
You believe in that, don't you?
I think it could be like the kind of thing people want to go see. It's fun and whatever. But I still wouldn't put it in my top two. But if something was to sneak into, I have the same top two. I'm going to switch them around though.
Jurassic, just for the heck of it.
Because I actually believe Jurassic will
be better than Deadpool. But do you want to?
Deadpool has a limited.
But I'll give you a point if you can pick one to sneak in there. Why don't we both pick one to sneak in there?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ocean.
You're going to go with Ocean.
Maybe would sneak in. Maybe Tag could. Probably not. Can't imagine Tag's going to get that much money. You know, this is of our set is the one thing.
Well, that's the one thing. So out of
there's a couple of horror movies in there that maybe...
There's a lot of buzz about Hereditary that we decided not to cover.
Yeah.
Toni Collette's more movie apparently made a big thing at Sundance. But it's interesting because it's not... And I don't mean this when I just said Toni Collette. Toni Collette was obviously part of... Little Miss Sunshine, which is arguably the most famous small movie that just got into everyone's head in the summer and took over the box office. And no one saw it coming, and it was a little independent movie. And obviously, Toni Collette was in that, along with Alan Arkin, Steve Carell, Greg Kinnear, and the kid, whose name I've forgotten. But, you know, ultimately, you know, horror movies tend not to...
No, but now let's see. Well, now they're back.
I don't know. I remember the year when Blair Witch came out of nowhere and took over the box
office. We're ruling. I mean, and then
so hold on. You can't
play that one
because I'm not playing that one. I'm going back. I'm looking back at what we've reviewed, and I'm desperately trying to find something that might sneak in there. Yeah. And to be fair, I can't. So I'm going to say Solo.
Oh, well, that's true. I mean, that's a fair point.
I'm going to say Solo.
Shoot, I have to...
No, you can't. Too late.
No, I can redo my top two.
What are you going to do? Make up your mind.
What?
Make up your mind.
I'm saying Solo's number two. Deadpool's not two. Solo's two.
Okay, all right. So I don't need that. I don't know. So we've got different things now. So it's Jurassic World and Solo, and I'll give you a bonus point.
And you have Solo as the sneak in.
I have Solo as the sneak in, and you have Ocean's 8 as the sneak in.
Yep. All right, then.
So there it is. There's the summer. Yep. You've said that you're looking forward to Happy Time Motors. As I said before, I can't wait for the return of Keanu Reeves and Bill and Ted.
Yeah,
that's still the biggest. That's summer, to me. That's bigger than that. That movie will come out in the summer.
It's not gonna be this summer.
No, it's not going to be this summer. I heard about 2 or 3 weeks ago. They'd agreed they're going to do another one. The idea had been bouncing around for a while. Someone's come up with a script. They're all going to do it. The two of them are excited.
They better come up with a script that does something interesting because nobody wants to see another one of the same thing.
I suspect they will.
It'll have to be something with their kids or something like that.
All right. So this has been a summer movie preview. We will, you know, also the World Cup is coming up. We have our special.
But by now people may already know that.
Oh, did we already say we were doing a World Cup preview special thing?
We don't know. I mean, it's June 14th, so if we wait too long, it'll already be here when we talk about it.
Okay, whatever.
It's a podcast.
Right?
Yeah, I guess if we're doing it. This has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at atlanticvoice.net. Email us at atlanticvoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for the Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.